afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
I could listen to that new intro on, I do listen to that new intro on repeat. I want to give a shout out to my friend Isaiah, two-time guest of the podcast, for creating that intro for me. Isaiah, you can listen to him on episode 25. We did a podcast together called Neat Whiskey. And then again on episode 68, where he just talked recently about living black in a white America. So again, thank you to Isaiah for creating that new intro for the Trent Speaks podcast. I'm really excited to bring you this week's guest. He is a Canadian, and we talked about a lot of different things from his career, as well as traveling in different places he's been, to his favorite hockey team. Here's that conversation. I hope you enjoy. So I'm speaking with Dean this week. Dean is someone who I found through a Facebook group that I'm a part of. I like to, every now and again, just put a call out for guests. And Dean responded to that call and everything. Dean, thanks for your interest in coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. I'm excited to be here. And I'm a fan of the show as well. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I know that you had said that you listened to a podcast and you were kind of looking at my podcast before you were interested in everything. I mean, you said you were kind of hooked. Which episode did you listen to, or which episodes did you listen to? What is it that kind of hooked you into the Trent Speaks podcast?
Well, I just liked how it was everyday people and you're hearing these stories that you would never usually get to hear, because usually it's more people that are on the podcast for a specific reason. But I got to hear stories about everyday people. And the first one I listened to was the one where she worked at, I believe it was Disney World. And yeah. So I thought that was really cool. And I listened to a couple more. And I don't know, I was hooked. I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I could hook you in and especially get you on as a guest.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here.
Dean, so I know there's a couple things that we're going to kind of chit-chat about today. One of the things that I want to mention right at the top is I know you run your own podcast, correct?
Yes, I do. I run a podcast. It's called the Web Fame Podcast. And basically what my podcast is, it's still brand new, but I look into everyday people that turned into online sensations, and mostly YouTube, but in the future we might do some TikTok and stuff, but just a look at how they went from being a regular person and how they got to the point where, you know, some of them have 15 to 20 million subscribers on YouTube and they're making a full-time income and career out of it. So,
and I know you said you just gotten started and you've recently done some episodes about Will Smith and Jenna Marbles, correct?
Yeah, a lot of people actually don't know that Will Smith actually just a year or two ago started his own YouTube channel, and he's pretty frequent on there, and he has some really cool videos.
Oh, see, I had no idea that he was doing YouTube. Where did the idea come from to kind of start to do that from basically nothing to something?
I knew I wanted to start a podcast, and I had one in the past, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I was kind of Googling like topics that were kind of unique and stuff. And one of the ones that came up was like net worth. And then it kind of got me thinking. I was like I watch a ton of YouTube and I'm always really interested in their lives and how they got to where they are. So I just thought it'd be a super unique opportunity for a podcast.
Have you had a favorite one that you've done so far, or one that's been the most interesting to you?
My personal favorite was FaZe Rug. It was the very first episode, and just because I'm a huge FaZe Rug fan, and I've been watching for a long, long time, and to see him from when he was a small YouTuber to now, like, being one of the top YouTubers is just incredible.
And so we kind of talked a little bit about at the top, you know, just everyday people. You had mentioned before when you and I were just kind of communicating that you were a sailor by trade. How did you get into that? I feel like that's not something that you hear about very often.
So basically, well, first off, my dad was a sailor all of his life, and it was always something that I considered in the back of my head. And there's actually a good, valuable point to learn from the story, because I was like in my mid-20s. I was like approaching 25, and at the time I was working at a senior's home, which I loved my job. I was getting to serve the seniors their meals and stuff, and it was a super rewarding job, but the pay wasn't there. So, you know, I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And at that time, I was seeing all my friends and stuff. They were, you know, buying houses and like started to have kids. Some of them were, and getting married and stuff. And I was like, oh my God. And they all had full-time, like really good careers. And I was like waking up every day, like concerned, what am I going to do with my life? And one day a cook came in, and he was a former employee of the seniors home. And he was telling me that he works on the ship for 28 days and then he gets 28 days off. And I was like, geez, that sounds really good. Like, you know, that would be really good for to have like a whole month off. You could travel, do whatever you want. So from there, I just kind of did the necessary training and just went for it. But the point I was trying to make is, you know, a lot of people spend too much time thinking about what other people are doing, and like when they should be just concerned on yourself, because people develop and figure out what they want to do with their lives at different points in their lives. So I just think that you should worry about yourself and not worry about how other people are developing.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. I think that that's something that I've said before, and I think other people have said before, but the more people say it, I mean, I think especially once you start to kind of have that experience yourself of like, oh yeah, I kind of get out of looking at other people's lives and kind of worry about myself and what I want to do.
Yeah. Because like I was literally waking up every day, and from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep, my main thought was, what are you doing with your life? And it was just like absolutely driving me nuts. Like, and I came up with all these bizarre ideas, and eventually I found one that stuck. And so now I'm a sailor and I absolutely love it. And interesting fact, I'm actually on the ship now. We're tied up in my hometown of Halifax, but so it's pretty cool. I'm probably the first one on the podcast to ever call in from the ship. So
you are. And you know, it's funny you say that, because I was just about to ask you if you were on a ship currently, just based on the background. I see, is that life vest up there at the top and everything?
Yep, that is a life vest. Okay. And then the porthole over here behind me. So, yep, it's been really interesting. I've been in for 2 years now and just loving every minute of it. And really, the main thing that drew me to it was having a month off. And the way I like to look at it is, after every single time I work, I get a vacation. So you can't beat it.
What is that training like to become a sailor? What does that all entail?
So basically, like to be a sailor, you have to go through a lot of survival training. So that includes firefighting for one. So, and even though myself, I'm not on the fire team on the ship, basically the way they look at it is, if the fire team wasn't able to do their duties in the case of emergency, then you need to be trained to do it just in case. So that's one of them. But the second part is actually really interesting and definitely was a huge step outside my comfort zone. So they have this big facility not far from where I am now. And it's actually, it was developed, like the sound effects and the, like all the different effects to make it seem real, was actually put on by the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it's like super realistic. And basically it's like this Olympic sized pool, and they simulate a hurricane. So basically the lights go out, it's completely dark. Like there's actual rain coming down, and it's like thunder and lightning. There's huge waves, and you have to do like a 30-foot jump into the water. to simulate, like, if you ever had to jump off the ship, and you have your life vest on and stuff, so you're floating. But and you have to do a bunch of drills in the pool, like getting into the lifeboat and stuff like that. So, but let me tell you, it seems pretty real, and definitely gets your heart rate going, that's for sure.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. At first, when I first found out I had to do that, I was a little anxious about the thought of it, because I'm not a super strong swimmer, but the life vest definitely keeps you up, and you just got to go for it.
So, Dean, and maybe there's not even a real answer to this, but is there a clear picture of what day-to-day life looks like for you, or is each day so different that it's hard to give what day-to-day looks like?
So do you mean like based on my actual job, or like the bigger picture of the ship?
However you want to go about that, either or both, up to you.
Yeah. So I work for the Coast Guard. So on a daily basis, it can be anything from doing fisheries, like science research, to search and rescue if need be. And myself on a daily basis, I'm in like the hospitality industry, I guess you might say. So I do like a lot of cleaning, and I work in what they call the galley, which is the kitchen, and doing dishes and helping the cooks when they need it, and looking after the dining room and the hospitality side of it. So my day consists of a lot of cleaning and food service, you might say.
What is it that you've learned about yourself through your role as a sailor?
Well, just like one thing is like, because like there's times when we're out here and, you know, sometimes the Wi-Fi is not good, and, you know, you can't communicate with your family for a couple days and stuff like that. So I've just learned that, you know, I'm a strong person because, you know, I'm definitely stronger when I'm able to communicate with my family and my fiance and stuff like that. But, you know, just the fact that even if I'm having a bad day, or, you know, something's not going my way, or, you know, something's wrong, I can still, you know, remember, you know, things that they would tell me if I was having a bad day, and work through it, and, you know, just know that, you know, soon I'll be home and get to see them.
And you had mentioned outside of the recording that you have an upcoming honeymoon later this year, correct?
Yep. So I'm getting married in the fall of 2021, which thank God for that, because yeah, if it was this fall, we'd probably be in trouble. But it's going to be in the summer of 2022, so still a little ways away.
Okay.
But we're planning on going for a month to Europe, and we're going to do two-month European cruise, and then we're going to do some traveling around by ourselves as well. So I think it should be super rewarding, because so interesting fact, back when I was all the way back in elementary school, we had to do projects on a country, right? So I picked Denmark out of the blue. I had no clue about Denmark. And then I was doing my research and stuff, and I was just a little kid, and I found out that the original Legoland was in Denmark. And for a little kid, I was like, an amusement park built out of Lego? Like, this is crazy. So then for like literally the next 4 years of elementary school, I did the same project on Denmark because I was so amused by it. And ever since then, Denmark has been amusing to me and somewhere I've always wanted to travel. So I'm going to get to check that off the bucket list, and I'm super excited about that, because they also have a place called, I think it's Nyhavn. And if you Google any pictures of Denmark, it's basically a super beautiful canal with all the colorful houses on the side.
Oh, cool.
And I'm just super excited to see that.
You know, it's funny you say summer 2022, because I think that's actually probably when my wife and I are wanting to go. So who knows? Maybe we'll run into each other over in Europe at some point.
Hey, well, if we do, we can link up for a beer.
I'll never say no to a beer. So I would definitely join you there.
I guess we can be friends, because I never say no to a beer either. So.
So talking about traveling, though, you have done a lot of traveling in the past, correct?
Yeah, I've done definitely a fair amount of traveling. I've been to Mexico, Dominican. I've done a lot of traveling mostly with my fiance through the United States. And I've been to pretty much all of Canada. And but one place that we had to check off our bucket list a couple years back in Arizona, we went to. We actually went to the Grand Canyon. And I tell you, if you haven't been there, like, it'll just blow your mind. Like, the pictures cannot do it justice. Like, just an absolutely incredible. But also, I just wanted to say, I spent a summer working out in Lake Louise in the hospitality industry. And the most beautiful spot, in my opinion, that I've ever seen within Canada is Banff. Like, the mountains out there are just spectacular.
Oh, my wife is going to love hearing that. She's always talked about wanting to go to Banff.
Oh, trust me. If you get a chance, definitely do it. Because, like I knew I was excited to go out there. But when you actually see it and experience, like, they have this drive where you can drive, like it's literally like a windy highway, like, for the sole purpose of visitors. And you can see all the wildlife on the side of the road and stuff. And it takes you actually, like, weans you through the mountains. And I tell you, what an incredible view. It's called the Bow Valley Parkway, I believe. So that's a super cool attraction that I did when I was there, and a really good experience.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down so that I remember to tell her that. You know, it's funny that you bring up the Grand Canyon. I was, many years ago, we took a family trip out to that area. My mom hesitated for probably about 10 minutes if she was going to drive down this dirt road or not. Finally, we get to the Grand Canyon. We go inside to pay for a tour or whatever, try and see the canyon. And we find out the cheapest tour is almost $70. And so my mom goes, I'm not doing that. So we've been to the Grand Canyon. I've just never actually, like, seen the Grand Canyon. So I guess that's my story to tell with the Grand Canyon.
That's too bad. Yeah, we were in Arizona, and I believe we were like 6 hours away. So we had like a 4:30 wake up call, and this van picked us up, and we had to stop at some, like, really amazing spots on the way to it. And one of them was Sedona, and Sedona is another beautiful spot. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out, because it's a really beautiful spot.
So would you say, I was going to ask you when we started talking about traveling, what your favorite place that you've been to is, would you say Banff would be your answer to that? Or is there another favorite place that you've been to for another reason?
Well, definitely the Grand Canyon was the best attraction I've seen. But I think, like, when I went out to Banff, like, I didn't realize how beautiful it would be inside my country. Like knowing that that was there and I hadn't seen it before just kind of amazed me, because I was like, I feel like I'm in a completely different country, because where I'm from in Nova Scotia, there's not big mountains like that. Like, I live in a place where it's all ocean, so it's completely different.
And you had just mentioned about being from Nova Scotia. I knew you were in Canada and everything. Here's kind of a weird question for you, but I'm curious, as someone who's not in the U.S., what is another country's view on the U.S.? So, like, what is your view on the U.S. right now with the way that they are handling the coronavirus, the way that Trump has run the country the past 4 years or so? What is that outsider's perspective?
Pretty much most of Canada, except for the one person I know that is a Trump supporter, is my fiance's father, and they get in a lot of heated debates about these politics. So, but the perception over here is, I'm assuming what it would be over there, very negative towards Trump. And like, even today, I was having a meal with some people, and as soon as they hear Trump's name come on the news, it's like, oh Lord, here we go again. Like, what's he into now? So that's the general perspective around here, but I'm sure there probably is some supporters around here for sure.
You know, and it's funny you bring up your fiance's father, because my wife's father is actually a very big Trump fan, and he constantly watches Fox News and everything like that. Very much pro-Trump, and then she, of course, is the polar opposite. So it sounds like we have a lot more in common than we realize.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I tell you, once you get into a debate with them, they'll definitely, they have their facts straight. That's one thing they do. Well, I don't know if they're straight, but they do have their facts.
They sound straight, at least, when they're coming out.
Definitely.
So being in Canada, I know you've mentioned this to me before, but you are a Leafs fan, correct?
I'm a diehard Leafs fan. Since I was pretty much born, I grew up watching Hockey Night in Canada and Don Cherry. Yeah, that's another story. I miss watching Don Cherry on Saturday nights, but I grew up watching Hockey Night in Canada. On Saturday night, that was the thing to do growing up. Like, everybody in the house would go quiet and the whole family would get together, watch hockey. And I don't believe my dad was actually a Leafs fan growing up. I think I got him into it, actually. But anyways, as far back as I can remember, we all cheered for the Toronto Maple Leafs growing up. And, you know, over the years, I've definitely had my fair share of heartbreak. They get to the playoffs and they just never can get it done. And it's just heartbreaking. And what Boston has done to us every year in the playoffs is just not even a topic I want to discuss. And it's terrible, but I'll always be a big fan. And, you heard it here first, 2020 Stanley Cup champs.
Well, I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan, so I can definitely share in some of that pain and know what it feels like to not advance as far as you would like to sometimes.
Well, I can't harp on you too much because you didn't say Montreal or, anyone like that. So I won't harp on you too much for that.
Okay. So that was actually, I wrote that down because that was a question that I had. So you are a Leafs fan. How is it very much depending where you live is what fan you're probably going to become? Because you have Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto. So you have these teams that are all Canadian based, but how do you choose who to go with?
So I'll break it down for you. Around here, it's mostly Toronto, Montreal, or Boston. Those are the three big ones. And then in my general area, well, Nova Scotia in general, I would say, there's also a lot of Pittsburgh fans because of Sidney Crosby. He's from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And so there is a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins fans around here. And there is a couple Colorado fans because Nathan MacKinnon is also from here. But interesting fact, Brad Marchand is also from here. And if you know anything about Brad Marchand, he's a very hated person in the NHL. And the city of Halifax definitely is the same way because, they don't like him around here. And if you want to hear the story, I can tell you. It's up to you.
Yeah, go for it.
So this is just what I've always been told and I heard. So a couple of years ago, he won the Stanley Cup, and in the summertime, he came back to Halifax to celebrate and whatever. And I guess he was out partying at the bars and the clubs and stuff, and I guess he was being super arrogant, and he was basically, like, getting in people's faces saying, like, oh, you're worthless to me. Like, I have a Stanley Cup ring. What do you have? And stuff. And he actually got kicked out of the bars in downtown Halifax. So this is just what I heard, but speculation. But I heard that he got kicked out of the bars for urinating all over the bar.
Oh, my goodness.
But so that's why some people probably hate him. But also, he's a very easy person to dislike, let's say.
He doesn't sound like someone that would be very approachable or personable. So it doesn't sound like someone that you could see in a public setting, walk up to and be like, hey, it doesn't sound like he has many of these, but hey, I'm a big fan of yours. Would you mind signing this? Because it sounds like he would almost tell them off.
Yeah, it does sound that way. But in his defense, like judging from his on ice appearance over the last couple of years, it does look like he might actually be maturing a little bit, or maybe, his coaches might be saying, okay, you can't be doing this kind of thing because it looks bad on the team. So I do think he's maturing a little bit. So that's definitely good to see.
Do you have a favorite player?
My personal favorite player would be Mitch Marner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Young guy, he's a smaller player, but, he has a heart of gold. And what I really love about him is not only his skill set, but off the ice, the things that he does for the community. And there's been times where, like, there's like a little kid holding up a sign during the warm up and stuff, and he'll go like take a selfie with them or throw a puck over to the little kid, and it just makes little kids' days. And he just does a lot of little things like that, and he just looks like a really nice, down-to-earth person. So he's definitely my favorite player. But growing up, my favorite player was none other than number 13, Matt Sundin, also from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I was kind of disappointed when a few years ago you guys took took Mike Babcock from the Detroit Red Wings. I was pretty disappointed in that. The Red Wings have definitely not been the same since Babcock left, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's definitely done a lot of good for the team. And, you know, hopefully we can get over that hump and finally win a cup. So we'll have to wait and see for that.
I think that shows, though, that he, in my opinion, he is a great coach. He's very good at developing players and working with them. And he knows the game very well, that he can come in and I don't want to say fix teams, but he's good at working with those teams to get them to where they need to be, to be at a high caliber level of play, I think.
Yeah, I would say he's definitely a good coach that can bring the group together and figure out what assets he needs to work on to actually get the team to the next level. And I think he's done a very good job with that over the last couple of years. And, you know, he has had some controversy for unknown reasons, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, he was able to work with all these young players, and he has a good goaltender, good defense. So, you know, I think that their time is coming for sure.
Dean, so I know we've kind of unpacked a lot here within the last half hour or so. What would you say has been the most impactful piece of your life to date? So how would you say you've gotten to where you are today?
Just by, you know, hard work and not giving up on yourself. Like, you know, it's so easy in life to, you know, say stuff's not going my way. Like, I'm just going to pack it in and, you know, let's say it was about a career. Well, maybe I'm just going to stay at this job because I can't do anything else. So it's so easy to say that. But if there's something you actually want and you put in the hard work and effort, you know, you can do anything you want, like, and literally anything. Like, you know, I used to never be good at like public speaking, and I used to be so afraid to go up in front of the class and talk. And I know it's completely different, but now I'm, you know, on podcast and I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel. Like, that's things that I would be terrified to do in the past. And so it's all about just putting in that hard work and doing what you want in life and, you know, just be happy.
So for you, how did you know being a sailor and stuff? You said you've been at it 2 years and that you're enjoying it. How did you know that was it? Like, how did it come to you of like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now?
Well, so first off, I had a lot of guidance from my father because he's retired from the Navy, and, you know, he was super helpful throughout the whole process and still is today. And, you know, I guess just like when I got here, like, you know, I'm not going to say money is everything, but, you know, it definitely checks the box of, you know, being a good paying job that can support me and my family going forward in the future. And, you know, I enjoy the people and I enjoy what I'm doing, you know, and I'm happy. And the time off is just a huge bonus. Being able to travel on the time off and just relax is just wonderful.
Well, and I would imagine that that is working for the Coast Guard, that is very rewarding work.
Yes, definitely. You know, we do, like, a lot of people don't know, we do a lot of science research and stuff like that, but we also do the search and rescue side of it, where, you know, all the fishermen that are out there, and if anything goes wrong while they're out there, we're the one that would be directed to go give them a hand. So yeah, it's definitely very rewarding work for sure.
Well, and I agree with what you're saying. I think that a lot of people, and I'll be honest, myself included, always go to that search and rescue piece. But I, you know, when you brought up how you guys do research and stuff, never knew that. That was news to me. Well, actually, so it is interesting.
Yeah, definitely. When I first got on the Coast Guard, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, so I'm going to sea for 28 days. If there's no search and rescue, like, what do you do? And I didn't even know. And then I found out about the science and the research side of it, where, you know, they do things like fisheries a lot of times, where they do tests on fish and stuff. And so that's a big part of it as well. So definitely very interesting.
Now, do you guys have like a DNR in Canada, like a Department of Natural Resources?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so I guess here's my question, because I have known people who have studied DNR like as a major and everything in college, or like wanted to like kind of go down that route. So I know that like they work with the fishery side of things as well. Do you work in tandem with your DNR and everything on those research projects, or are you and that Department of Natural Resources entity doing two separate research projects in the fisheries?
So basically the way it works is we work, like the Coast Guard here works for the government of Canada. So I know in the United States, like they're considered military. Here we're not, we work for the government of Canada. Okay. And and then the other side of it is the like Canadian fisheries, and they're the ones that come on board and they don't work for the Coast Guard, and they're the ones that take care of all the science.
Dean, aside from Banff, give me the top three places that someone should visit if they're coming to visit Canada.
Well, number one on the list, not biased at all, of course, would be beautiful Nova Scotia. If you haven't been to Nova Scotia, let me tell you, Google the Cabot Trail in Nova Scotia. That's it's like 4 hours from where I am, but just super beautiful scenery. And it's considered to be one of the most scenic drives in Canada. And it's just like kind of like mountains, but it's like along the shore. And there's just so many like shops and hiking trails and stuff like that. We actually did a hike when we were there, and it was the Skyline Trail it was called. And so you do this like crazy long hike, and then you have all these stairs, and it kind of looks like the Stairway to Heaven but going down, because it's like just hundreds and hundreds of stairs going downwards, and then it just all opens up and you're looking over like the side of a huge cliff, and it's all ocean, and it's like just absolutely incredible. So I would say that's number one on my list. And you said besides Banff, so I would have to say Ontario is also very beautiful. It's a lot bigger, obviously, but I've done a lot of traveling throughout northern Ontario, and lots of nice sights to see, a lot of waterfalls and stuff like that. So definitely check out Ontario. And the other one I would say is probably PEI. PEI is definitely underrated, I find. It's a very small island, but, you know, it has a lot of history with Green Gables. That's where that comes from.
Oh.
And there's just a lot of history there and a lot of really nice beaches. And it's just a really nice small island that you should definitely check out.
Dean, so you've listened to a couple of the podcasts, so you probably know this question is coming. But as we kind of wrap up here, the question I always ask people, what is it that you want people to take away from this podcast? So whether it's something we've talked about in the last half hour, or maybe it's something we haven't talked about, what is it that you want to leave the people that are listening to your podcast?
Well, first off, there's a good quote that I know, and I cannot remember where it came from, but it is, if you want it, don't just think you want it, go out and get it. Like, because thinking about it's not going to do anything, but you have to actually take it into action. And if you want it, put in the hard work and go get it, because you can do it. And it might not be easy, and it might not take a year, it might take 5 years, but eventually you can do it. And don't give up on yourself, because, you know, it might be hard, but you definitely can do it. So don't give up on yourself.
Well, Dean, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't even use words right now. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chit chat. I can't speak for all the listeners that are listening, but I definitely learned a lot, and I really enjoyed the conversation that we had today. So thank you.
No problem. It was a pleasure to be here. And, you know, I was a little worried because I didn't know if your viewers were going to find my life interesting, but I was talking to my fiance before I jumped on here with you, and she said that, you know, it's my life, so, you know, that's why it might not be interesting, but to other people it might be. So I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I always tell people that when they're like, well, I don't know what I would talk about or anything. And I always tell people, I think that your life is more interesting than you think. And because you're right, it's we're living our own experience. And so I think that we are our own worst critic. But when we start to tell other people about it, they're like, oh, I never heard about this, or I never thought about this and that perspective. And so I think it's always nice having people come on and share the different perspectives and the different experiences and things that they've learned. So thank you.
No problem.
Dean, so this I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can go ahead and wrap up your episode of the podcast.
It's been a great time spending time with you guys today. I would really appreciate if you, showed this guy some support, listen to future episodes, because he's definitely a very great host. Thank you so much. Stay safe and have a fantastic day.
Dean, and I'm going to do something unconventional and chime in really fast because I forgot to ask you a quick question. I really want to make sure that I get this in here for the listeners. How can people, because I know we kind of talked about your online presence and everything with the podcast, how can people support you?
So you can go on Facebook or Instagram at the Web Fame Podcast, and you can find me there. And yeah, I would love your support. I've grown a lot in a small time, and I would just appreciate any support.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today, Dean.
All right. Thank you.